Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. Three times a month, we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's featured guests are authors Charnell Williams and Ask TPJ. Charnell, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, it's my pleasure. So why don't you tell us where your writing journey began? Have you been writing since your youth, or did a specific incident cause you to pick up your pen?
No, well, unfortunately, an incident made me pick up my pen. Back in 2005, my son passed away from leukemia 2 days after his 12th birthday. During his funeral service, after his funeral service, I used to keep... When he was in the hospital, I used to keep a journal about, you know, everything that goes on in his day to day. So at the funeral, a nurse asked me, was like, Charnell, what you doing with the journal you've been writing on? She ain't call it a journal. She called it a pad. What you doing with the pad you've been keeping all that stuff on? So I was like, I don't know. It's in my drawer now. She was like, I think you should turn it into a book. I was like, a book? She was like, yes, a book. You can help others, you know. So I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting, because it was after the funeral she came up to me and told me that. So then I had to think about it, because I didn't know nothing about writing. Book wasn't even on my mind, writing a book, until she told me about it. Then I thought about it for a couple of months. And then I said, I think I can do it. Things happen for a reason, you know, and I don't know the reason, but all I can do is she placed the book in my head, and then I have to go along with the book. And that's when my first writing started in 2006.
Okay, and that was the book that was titled What Do a Mother Do?
What Do a Mother Do? The Shaquille Williams story. I'm trying to get into a movie. I've been reaching out to directors and producers, too. I want to turn my true story into a movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you start this process of writing this book, but you know, writing is not really your thing. Did you find was it very difficult?
Yes, it was very difficult because I had to relive everything like it happened yesterday. So I had to relive everything. I had to stop, pause, because I couldn't take it. I had to, you know, that's why it took me so long to write the book, but thank God, you know, he gave me the strength. There's plenty of times I was like, I ain't writing this book, because I was thinking about my son, you know, and I guess my son and God was pushing me, like, I had to get this book out, so I just continue on writing it, even though I went through all the trials and tribulations of reliving his death, the funeral, and his illness all over again, but it's something I had to do, and I'm happy I did it.
Okay. Now, when did the book release, the first book?
The first one, because I had to redo it. I think it released in 2009, but then when I redid it, I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Now, how many books have you written in total?
Wow. Now I got 5 books under my shoulder.
Oh, dear. Awesome. All right. Yes. Yes. So what are the titles?
Okay.
Go, girl.
As we just talked about. As we just talked about, that was my first book, and my first book is My Baby. That will always be my baby, What Do a Mother Do, the Shaquille Williams story. The second book I co-written with another author, A Mother's Worst Nightmare, Read Our Story, Share Our Angie, because her daughter passed away from epilepsy.
Okay.
And we put both of our stories into one book. And my third book was I'm Black, He's White. Then I'm Black, He's White, Part 2. And now my latest book with another co-author is called Living in the PJs.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so let's go back to the first two books that you wrote. Okay, so you're writing in nonfiction at this point. And you and this other mother hope to accomplish what by writing those stories?
To reach out to others I can't speak for her, but my goal was to let people know, and that's my logo today, that you are not alone. To let people know, like, when I went through my trials and tribulations with my son, I thought I was the only mother in the world that lost a child to cancer. But as I did research, as my child passed on, and people read my book, they started inboxing me, emailing me. I was like, wow, I'm not the only one. But at that time, when you're going through that, and I think I could speak for all mothers who lost a child, they feel as though that they're the only one.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like based on the feedback that you're getting from others that you met your goal, you accomplished that. That's awesome. I'm sorry
right.
that it was such a tragic, you know, story that brought you to that, but I'm glad that you were able to make something beautiful out of it. And
yes,
okay,
but
so
I didn't
then,
really accomplish my goal yet. My goal is to turn it into
okay.
a movie, okay?
All
right.
That's okay.
my goal, to turn my book into a movie.
And you will do it, too. You have
I
just
hope
to draw
so.
The initiation to make that happen. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So your first two books are nonfiction. Now, what made you decide
yes.
to try your hand at fiction writing?
Oh, wow, because it's a lot of interracial relationships, especially where I live in the Poconos. So it's
mm-hmm.
like a lot. When you turn a corner, ride down the street, you just see mixed couples. And
mm-hmm.
plus my son was in like a mixed couple relationship. And I was
okay.
like, let me start writing about this. And then I talked to people who was in a mixed relationship. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, I'm about to turn this into a book. And I
okay.
just said, I think all authors should, like, experience different genres. That's just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think all
mm-hmm.
authors should experience different ones. So I just tried it.
So what did you find was the hardest part of transitioning between, you know, writing fiction and writing nonfiction?
Oh, I'd rather stick with nonfiction because it's true stories. Fiction is you got to
okay.
think about characters. You got to make sure the characters match with the story. There's a lot going on with fiction
mm-hmm,
books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a headache. You get a headache. Then you're thinking about it. With a nonfiction book, you already know day by day what happened because you done been there
okay.
and you done went through it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to think about, you know, you ain't have to think like, well,
mm-hmm.
did this. But a fiction book, that's crazy.
Okay. So are there any additional genres that you'd like to try writing in?
I want to do a thriller, like a scary, like a
oh.
thriller or something. I really want to
really?
Do that because I used to love that as when I was growing up, watching a lot of scary, like Freddy Krueger, Jason, all that,
mm-hmm.
like scary pictures. But once I moved into my house, and you know, a house is creepy
mm-hmm.
and scary, the littlest noise, I stopped watching them.
Okay.
So I would like to really write one of them.
Okay. So you have now are all three of your fiction books co-authored with someone else, or did you or just this last one?
Fiction book. No, just the last one was
Okay.
No, I wrote my fiction book. Living in the PJs is. I based that on like a nonfiction book because it's something that
mm-hmm.
I really went through in the projects.
Okay.
So I don't look at it as like a fiction book because it's something that I went through.
Okay.
Me personally right. speaking. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you said that this is your most recent, right?
Yeah.
Living
in
the PJs is your most recent book.
Yeah.
And when did that one release?
April the 1st or 2nd. And that's co-written
oh,
with
out.
Vanessa.
Aww,
yeah, that's co-written with Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa Santiago. And plus, let
oh,
me
okay.
tell you this.
Uh-huh.
We, Living in the PJs, hit the 100 top on Amazon, the 5th, in different
really?
categories. Yes, the
that
5th. I think
fantastic.
The other day it was the 5th in one category, and then on the next day it was the 11th in a different category. So
that
I was
so
proud.
That is fantastic.
Cause.
Yes,
yes,
you should be. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay. So you and okay, but this book just came out, and so I guess you're going to spend some time kind of working and trying to, you know, push that one out there and get that one in front of readers before you start working on the next one. Do you think your next book is going to be the thriller that you're talking about, or will you stick
no.
to the relationship, you know, romance stuff for a while?
No, I'm working on this book now. It's an inspirational book. It's called You Are Not Alone, Death, Grieving, and Healing. So
okay.
I'm working on that book, and I want to get that book out before I do
okay.
any other types of projects.
You have a like a scheduled release date or tentative?
No, I don't believe in that.
Okay. All right.
Because if you set a goal for, say, your book going to come out September the 19th, your book don't come out September the 19th, so I stopped doing my goals and stopped doing a release date. It just come out when
mm-hmm.
it come out. But I'm
mm-hmm.
setting it for it to come out sooner, but whenever it come out, I can't pick a date. But it'll be here soon.
Oh, I can totally relate to that. It's like, you know, especially being indie authors, you know, you kind of have more flexibility, you know, what you can do it and the way that you want to do it. So, you know,
right.
and it gives you an opportunity to be able to have a better product if you're not, you know, pressed and under the gun like that. So, yeah, I feel that.
Right.
Okay. If there was anything about the industry or one thing about the industry that you would change, what would it be?
Far as being an author?
Yeah.
Oh, I would change.
I mean, just period. Just anything that encompasses the literary arena. You know, what's that one area that you think, this area here needs to change?
Well, me personally, I think, and I'm going to speak about authors and black authors, that we need to do more sticking together and supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I can change that and we all can come together as one family and stick together
right.
and support one another, I will change
mm-hmm.
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so what do you wish that you had known coming into the literary arena that would have made your journey easier?
Editing. I wish I knew how to edit. Oh, wow, editing.
Well, but you know, even the best editors don't edit their own works.
I know.
Yeah, because it was just in your mind. It says what you think it says. When you're reading it, it says what's in
right.
your mind, not necessarily what's on the paper.
Mm-hmm,
so,
you're right,
you know,
about
it's always, that. It's always best to, you know, to let somebody, another pair of eyes look at it, you know.
Yeah.
And so have you found someone that you work with, you know, that helps you put good stuff out there? You found a good editor?
Well, I found one now, Latasha.
Mm-hmm.
She's been great. She did I'm Black, He's White, Part 2. And I just did part one over because I had a lot of complaints about part one not having enough details in it. So I felt as though that from my readers, I felt as though I had to do it over and add details because that's what everybody was talking about. Where the details at? Where the details? So I felt as though it was my duty to add details. And since she did my first book and a lot of people, since she did my second book and a lot of people liked the second book, I felt as though I should get her to do my first book, and she did it, and is out today, and I'm happy.
Oh, that's good. But you know, I think
yeah.
it's wonderful that you are willing to, you know, to listen to reader, you know, feedback, because so often people get negative reviews or things that they view as negative, and instead of just learning from it, they take it personally. You know, when they want to get into these, you know, arguments and stuff with people who've taken the time to review, and it's like it's just not quite that serious. You know, learn
from
it
and
go on and get a better product. So,
well,
I
learned from it.
Fantastic.
I did learn from it, but and then I feel as though because I know I'm a reader and I do love details. Everybody don't love a lot of details in their story, but I do love details. So I take my readers and they inbox me and they ask me, why you ain't put this? What happened to this person? You just left it hanging. So I was like, I gotta get this, and it was bothering me. It really was bothering me. So I was like, I have to redo this book over. I had to add more details in it because, you know, I don't want to lose my readers. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. Absolutely.
So I just
do you use
it over
a character profile?
Did I what?
Do you use a character profile before you start on each new book?
No, not really. No.
What's your process?
No. I just write. It just comes to my mind, and I just put it on paper. I used to put it on paper. I didn't put these last two books on paper. But I used to put it on paper and then read over it and then get my characters like that. I try not to make my characters as a name that I know because I don't want nobody to say that I'm writing about them and it's them. But my characters, it just popped up. You know, I'm Black, he's white. I was like, girl, that's a good character name. And then Peter, that's a good white man name. So so I just put it together, and I was like, I'm going to stick to these characters. You know, it's hard. Sometimes you can put them at the front before you do your storyline, you know, but then sometimes you got to change the name because the name, when you start writing, the name don't fit that character, and then you got to go. There's a lot of stuff with fiction books, so. I like how this came out.
It sounds like you really enjoy it, though.
I enjoy it now because I try not to take it personally. I talked to a lot of authors I met on Facebook, and they was like, Shanel, you can't take it personally because some people going to like your work, some people ain't going to like your work, some people going to criticize it, some people going to say it's good. You can't take it personally. So I'm learning now not to take things personally because I was hurt when I read my reviews. I was really hurt.
Yeah.
But then, you know,
but you know
I talked
what?
To everybody.
Like, the creative process, it's like your child. You know, you've birthed this book. You know, it's like a baby, you know. And so,
mm-hmm.
yes, when someone is criticizing something that you have put, you know, a piece of yourself into, it does hurt,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah.
your reaction is, you know, that like, oh, that thing that kind of hits you in the gut. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very human response to, like, I just gave you a piece of myself and this is your response back, you know. So
Yeah.
But then... And then you just, you know, like you've done, you just, you know, take something from it and say, okay, well, I'm going to improve. I'm going to get better from here. Are you taking any writing, like, classes or workshops, or do you plan to in the future?
No, I never thought about taking writing classes. But I do want to do something to improve my writing, but I never thought about writing classes. But then you still can improve your writing and still have mistakes and stuff, because ain't nobody perfect. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
So ain't nobody perfect. Like my aunt told me when my first book came out, it had editing problems. And she told me, mm-hmm. Chanel, the best authors, and I got like 500 books on my shelf, got errors
mm-hmm.
in their books. She said,
mm-hmm.
got errors in their books. So she said, don't think you're going to be the first and don't think you're the last.
Right.
So I just took it like that. So, you know, everybody human. Everybody make mistakes.
Right.
You can get 3 eyes, 4 eyes. All them eyes ain't going to see what each other see, you know, because we look at
mm-hmm.
things differently. Each individual look at everything different.
That's right. So in addition to writing, you are also the host of the Charnell Williams Show. How long have you been hosting your internet show?
Oh, wow. I think like almost 2 years now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, almost
now,
2 years.
So if someone wanted to be a guest on your show, what's the criteria?
The criteria is, As far as an author, all I ask them for is to donate a book and give it to a caller, sign a copy. It has to be a paperback book. Sign
mm-hmm,
a copy,
mm-hmm.
and a winner calls in on my show. We pick a winner from my show, and I mail them a copy of that author that's on my show. And that's all I ask for. And it has to be positive, because I don't do no negativities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody coming on here bashing another author. That's not my type of show.
Right.
I'm here to help
other
authors and get their message out, and it has to be positive. I don't want no negativity on my show.
Mhm. Now, are you focusing only on interviewing authors with the Charnell Williams Show?
No.
Or do you bring on other types of guests as well?
No. Like, I just had an editor on my show, because I think as far as authors, we do need to talk to editors and get the outline
mm-hmm.
of the editor job. I want book
mm-hmm.
designers. I want anybody. You know, if you own a business selling hats, you're welcome to come on my
mm-hmm.
show. You know, it's open. It's open.
Okay. That sounds good. Now, do you have any events, book signings, or engagements coming up where readers can meet you?
Well, yes. Let me tell you about my personal book fair that's coming up first.
All right. Okay.
I have a book fair coming up June the 20th in Newark, New Jersey at the Newark Public Library. And after
mm-hmm.
June the 20th, it's going to be all authors, vendors. So everybody come out. June the 20th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's Charnell's Book Fair at the Newark Public Library, downtown Newark, New Jersey. Plus, I have an event I'm going to be at this on the 18th of April in the Poconos Book Expo. I'm going to be there from 10 to 3. In Stroudsburg,
mm-hmm.
so everybody come out and give me some love. I just had a book signing last Saturday in New York.
Oh, how'd it go?
And it went fine. I'm so happy. Like,
oh,
you be happy
good.
When people come from your hometown and they give back. And I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of pre-orders, and I don't do pre-orders, you know, because
I ain't really had my
I'm Black, He's White book, the first one, because, you know, I was redoing it, and it wasn't out in
mm-hmm.
time. So a lot of people wanted that. They bought part two, and plus I got a lot of pre-orders for Living in the PJs. So I was excited because I never did pre-orders before. But I have a lot of events.
Awesome.
And every year we have my son event, Memorial in Bransford Park. They named the park after my son in Newark, New Jersey, called the Shaquille Williams Playground. And every year around August, we don't have a date yet, but around August we have a memorial with entertainment, food, games, you know, raffles. You know, it's a big turn up. It's free for the public, and we do that every year, you know, in honor of my son.
That is wonderful. I want to go back to this, to the event that you're planning at the library. So it's a book fair. Now, do you have vendor spaces available for people to to come on and to sell their books, or how does that work if an author wants to participate in this program?
Well, lucky me, I think God is on my side, because lucky me, I had sold out of vendor space, and my vendor planner came and called me. Yes, but it was only
awesome.
20 tables I had sold out.
Okay.
And then my event planner called me and was like, Shana, there's 4 more tables can fit in this room. I said, you sure? She said, yeah, we got 4 extra tables. So now I just sold the table just now. So now I got 3 extra tables. So if you want to come to Newark, New Jersey, authors, you can come out there. It's only $125 for a table. You can share a table for $180 with another author if you want to. And they 6x8 or 8x something tables. So they big enough because I had my own book signing there, and that's a big, long table.
Okay. Well, that is fantastic. Now, again, give us the date on that one, please.
That's June the 20th. June the 20th from 10 to 5, and that's in Newark, New Jersey at the Newark Public Library downtown in Newark.
Okay, sounds good. Now, where can your books be purchased, and how can listeners follow you on social media?
Okay, my books can be purchases on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Book A Millions, and my website at www.authorcharnell.com. You can download my books. All of my books is e-books. You can do the paperback.
Okay.
You can just get them all over, but I really appreciate it if you go to my website if you want to buy the paperback. But then you can follow me.
And that was CharnellWilliams.com?
AuthorCharnell.com.
AuthorCharnell. Okay, got it. All right.
AuthorCharnell.com.
Okay. And finally, what piece of advice would you give to an aspiring author?
Follow your dream. Do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Don't let nobody put plugs in your head and say you can't do that, because ain't no such thing as can't. You can do whatever you put your mind to.
Okay. All right. We heard it here first. Well, Charnell, it has certainly been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for sharing part of your day with us. We wish you continued success on your literary journey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And before we bring on the next guest, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Are you looking for the next great read? A book filled with love, passion, betrayal, and intrigue. The award-winning novel, Season of Change, by Tamika Patrice Kane, is sure to satisfy your literary sweet tooth. Check out this must-read book reviewers are calling uplifting and emotional, an exceptionally great read, deeply intense and thought-provoking. Order your copy today. Available in paperback and ebook on Amazon.com or at www.tamikapatrice.com.
The Say What Book Club presents Brunch with your favorite authors. Come out and meet 9 of your favorite authors, including NAACP Image Award winner Beverly Jenkins. Enjoy a lovely afternoon of good food, fellowship, photo ops, and of course, great books. Saturday, June 6, 2015, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Marriott in Livonia, Michigan. We're more than a book club. We're a movement. Join us. Contact Say What Book Club at 734-931-0415 or email us at saywhatbc@yahoo.com for details.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. And we were just interviewing author Charnell Williams. Our next guest in the spotlight goes by the moniker Ask TPJ. So Ask TPJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. So let's start off by talking about your pseudonym. That's an interesting pen name. How'd you come up with it?
I came up with my pen name just because everyone asks me so many questions. I mean, whether it's about motherhood or about business or writing books, I'm always getting inboxes or emails about how do you do this? Did you create that schedule for your kids? And so, you know, I'm thinking like, what is this? Ask Trisha? And that's how it just kind of came up. So people don't call me Trisha. Even in high school, I was in ROTC, and so was always my last name or my initials that people called me by. So instead of saying Aunt Patricia, I went by what people would normally call me. And so when I was in high school, it was TPF, and now that I'm married, it's TPJ. And so that's how it came about.
Okay. And you also have a blog by the same name, Ask TPJ. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
And what types of topics do you write about, and how can listeners follow the blog?
I give, I talk about everything, really. It's basically your one-stop shop. I talk about spiritual things. I talk about parenting. I talk about finance. I talk about business. I talk about writing books. You know, we love NaNoWriMo, which is in November, where you take 30 days to write a book. And so, you know, I give little tips and things like that for people that are not familiar with it so they can go in and write their book as well. So you can check that out at www.asktpj.com and click on the blog link.
Okay. Now, you coin yourself a mompreneur. What do you mean by that?
I am a mommy first, but five kids in the game, you learn how to hustle. And so I am an entrepreneur, but I'm a mom first. So I am those two things. I'm more, but those are the things that I coined myself as because that's what people know me for. They know me as a mom. They know me wherever we go. You see the five little ducklings trailing behind me. And then, you know, they know me for a business. And so mesh of what people know me by.
Okay. Now, your plate is definitely full, being a wife and a mother of five, writing and running your own company. Princess Warrior Life. Tell us about your company.
That is my nonprofit organization.
Okay.
It's so crazy. I had no intentions of ever doing anything like that. But it came to me in my prayer time. And the Lord was just sharing with me, you know, you need to get with a group of girls and you need to start praying. And I'm like, I don't even like that many girls, so how is this going to happen? But it was crazy because, I mean, it was just people came from out of the woodworks. And so we began to pray, and we began to pray, and marriages got back together. We began to pray, and barren women were getting pregnant. We began to pray, and you know, people that had been laid off and didn't have jobs began to start their own businesses and began to flourish. And I looked like, okay, you know what, you were onto something. And so seeing their testimonies and seeing the Lord move in their lives made me happy to be obedient. And so now it's a full movement. We do prayer every Saturday, and we have an annual conference in November. So it's an amazing thing. It's totally amazing. I never expected it, but I'm grateful.
That's wonderful. Tell us about the conference.
The conference is, I call it a retreat, even though it is a conference, but it's just a place for you to come and get rejuvenated. I mean, it's a lot of leaders and just people that I know are called to dominate in their destiny in whatever area, be it the marketplace or ministry at home. You know, so many times we just need that push, and we need someone to just pour into us because we pour out to everyone else. So this weekend each year is just a time for you to get rejuvenated. It gives you some tips and some tools to come back and dominate your home, to come back and dominate in your workplace, to come back and dominate, you know, in your business or wherever it is. And so I'm so grateful for that because I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I'm an organizer, but I never saw myself in ministry. You know, I'm a servant. I love to help, but I never saw myself leading it. And here I am, this crazy little girl just being obedient to the Lord. And, you know, here he is telling me to do another thing that I don't want to do. And, you know, I'm finding all the excuses. Well, you're not an ordained minister. And, you know, and it's so crazy because certain people were saying that too. Like, well, you know, I don't know if I can come because you're not ordained. And I'm like, you know, I make sure I ask, you know, for permission. I don't want to be out of order. And so when I ask, they're like, my leader was like, no, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, well, how long did you know this? Why am I the only person that this just seems so new and foreign to, you know? But, you know, it just really, it's really just about my obedience. But seeing it was for the first time, it was what, almost 60 ladies come in and get their
really?
Lives. That is unheard
oh,
of with no advertising.
That's awesome.
I didn't do any advertising. It was just strictly word of mouth. And, you know, I would post on Facebook time to time. You know, I'm very transparent on Facebook. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, you know, I'm really walking this thing by faith, guys. You know, I didn't even have the money, but it just really worked
mm-hmm.
itself out. And so, you know, some of those same people that said, well, she's not ordained, they were coming to help. Like, no, the Lord told me I needed to help you. And after the retreat, they're like, you make sure you let me know whatever you need next year. I'll be here because this was a move of God. So
that is
you
awesome.
Don't want to miss it. It was absolutely amazing.
Now, when you start posting information on Facebook about it, do you also have information and stuff on your website, or is there a separate website set up for it? For people who are interested
no.
in joining you this year?
There is always information on Facebook, and because
okay.
I am the speaker and the host, there's always
mm-hmm.
information on events or things that I'm doing on my website. So I still use the
okay.
Ask TPJ website for it because I am the face of it, even though I don't want to be, you know, Princess
gotcha.
Warriors. I like to stay in the background, but I'm hosting the event, so that's how
mm-hmm.
people know, oh, STBJ is hosting that event. And so they're always
okay.
in the event section.
Awesome. So in recent months, you've added author to your list of titles and accomplishments. Tell us about your book.
Yay. that book
hey, congratulations.
Was a long time coming. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I've always written. I can
okay.
remember writing books and short stories and poems from a young child. I always
yeah.
wrote, but number one, I got saved. So,
okay.
you know, that
uh-huh.
changes the dynamic of your writing. And so,
yeah, just a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
you know.
uh-huh.
Number two, you know, I want it to be transparent. And that's not,
mm-hmm.
I won't say that it's frowned upon, but it's not something that you are used to seeing in the church arena. You know, it's a lot of things that under the rug, or we think
mm-hmm.
them, but we don't say them out loud. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm not that girl. I let you see it all, flaws and all,
mm-hmm.
because,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many times we let people think that we have it all together when
mm-hmm.
if we were really just ourselves, they would
yeah.
want to come to Christ because guess what? They don't have it all together, but I still
That's right.
see, you know, he's moving in their lives and things are
mm-hmm.
changing in their lives. And why? You know, so this
mm-hmm.
book was really just my journals and my prayers to God when I was going
mm-hmm.
through my wilderness. And
yeah.
there's a lot of different wilderness experiences in the book, but one that resonates with a lot of people is when I was believing the Lord for my son. Now I have five
okay.
kids. But I have four girls. And the crazy
mm-hmm.
thing about that is, number one, I never wanted a lot of kids. I thought maybe one or two. That's what my husband agreed on. And so we were cool with that. You know, we had plans.
Okay.
And five kids was not in the equation. You know, so
okay.
we were thinking, you know, girl and a boy. And, you know, we had just
mm-hmm.
had everything figured out. But four girls later,
mm-hmm.
I still hadn't had my son. And the kicker
yeah.
was, even before I had kids, I had a vision of a son. And so
mm-hmm,
when
mm-hmm.
I did have him, it was like a deja vu moment. Okay, this was what
wow.
I had seen 10 years
yeah.
ago. But it
yeah.
was a faith fight because each girl I'm having, I'm like, well, did you really hear from God? You know,
mm-hmm,
maybe it
mm-hmm.
was just a pizza dream that night, you know, and it was just really a tough faith fight because it wasn't just, ooh, I want a boy. It was like, well, ooh, am I really hearing from God? And if I was wrong
exactly.
about this one, could I be wrong about some other things that I'm still waiting on to happen? And, you know, I waited
mm-hmm,
10
mm-hmm.
years
mm-hmm.
for, you know,
yeah.
that promise to be fulfilled. actively.
So how old
know,
is he now?
He is one.
Oh, I get this. He's a year old.
Yes, okay. He is one.
Yes.
It's so funny because while I'm writing this book, I was still going through the rejuvenation process. You know, and so
yeah.
It's so crazy that this is what he had me title the book. And while I'm writing it, I'm going through it. And I didn't finish the book. It was like I had writer's block all of a sudden. And it was just really emotional. So it was tough to get it out because I just really just laid my heart out on the pages. But it was like I got writer's block. I was pregnant. This is the fifth time I didn't have a girl's name. I'm like, it's probably a girl. You know, Ashton Kutcher's going to come out and say, you've been punked, you know. So I'm just going through all of this. And towards the book was done, but it wasn't done. And it wasn't done because I hadn't received this promise. And so fast forward, I had my son, and then I was able to finish the book. But it was such a process. And I don't regret it. I'm so glad that I chose it along the way. Because I got four blessings that I never knew I needed. And I'm so grateful for that.
Oh, yes. So feedback that you're getting from other people, you know, are folks receiving what you're saying? You know, do you feel like your goal was accomplished in writing this story? When did it come out, by the way? I can't remember.
It just came out in November.
Okay.
November of 2014. So it's not.
Okay.
It has not been out that long, but it's funny because the same thing that I'm getting from the Princess Warrior Life Retreats and things, I'm getting from the book, and it's it's ordained ministers and pastors and prophets and apostles saying, "Oh my gosh, this book is so amazing. This book is helping me," and I'm just like, you know what? I'm so glad that I chose to trust the process and that I was obedient. Because you don't want to spill all your tea. Who wants to tell all of their business? Absolutely nobody, you know.
That's right.
It takes a brave person to be vulnerable. But to be that vulnerable and for it to resonate with people and for people to say they highly recommend it and they come from, you know, an established place, or ministry, it just meant the world to me. And, you know, it just showed me so many people say, you know what, you're not alone. I felt that way, too. And these are people that are higher up saying that. And then for my comrades and, you know, just I like to call us just us little regular old folk, you know. We just help out. Yeah. We just start. We don't necessarily have titles, but we're in the body and we're working in our purpose, you know, for them to be like, you know what, I thought that too, but I thought I was the only one. It just made me say, you know what, I'm glad I was obedient because it wasn't for myself to be obedient. It was for these people that were reading the book.
That's awesome. That is so, yes, I can so relate to those words. Is there something that you wish you had known ahead of time that would have made your process easier?
Yes. I wish I had known that there is no amount of planning that you could do to make the book be what it's supposed to be. You know, I am type A. I plan. I had my whole life figured out. So doing the book was no problem. You know, I could do an outline.
Yes, yes.
I had done my research, and I had so it was going to be so many chapters, and it was going to be so many pages long. No, and no again. It was the exact opposite. You know what I'm saying? But again, I had to trust the process. And you know, you're an author. You write books for days. You get it, but coming in and always writing, I just knew, okay, I have this down pat. It's going to be super easy. I'm just going to carve out this time. I'm going to write this book, and in 90 days, I'm going to be done. That was not the case.
So how long did it take you to write the book, since you mentioned time frames here?
It took me 2.5 years to write this book, and it's not very long. And it's crazy because I have written in between the time, I have written books that I'm not even allowed to release yet. I mean, like, finished them.
Okay.
But this had to be the first book. And so it was
Wow. But, you know, I think that what you just said is so encouraging for people, because sometimes we get so caught up in it has to be right now, or it has to be this time frame, or it has to go this way, and we're waiting for perfect circumstances, and we're looking for all this stuff and feeling discouraged because it hasn't worked out the way we thought that it would, and yet it's still all in divine order. You know, so I feel like what you're saying is just so powerful there. You're like, look, it took me years to write this. It should have taken me 90 days, you know, and yet it came out right when it was supposed to, in the way that it was supposed to, and you could say that it was a completed work. So that is so powerful. It was such a powerful testimony.
And let me say this.
So
success does not look like what you think it will look like. It just does not be okay with that. And people say I'm a success, and I'm like, I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But if that's what, you know, you look back and then you say, you know what, okay, I have accomplished a lot. That is successful. I get it.
You know, it's funny because I think everyone has their idea of what success is, but people who are looking at you from the outside, your areas where you feel like, oh, this is still a work in progress, is what they deem successful, you know? And so, you know, you're in it, and what looks like success to you may be completely far off in left field compared to what it looks like to somebody else. You know, somebody else are saying, you know, oh, you know, but you've got your book out, and you're thinking, yeah, but I really just wanted to be a successful parent, and I don't feel like I'm being successful here, you know? So, yeah, it's all a matter of perception, you know, and people don't always see the whole story. They don't always see, you know, they certainly don't see the whole, you know, the journey. They just see what they see, you know, and it's like, but if you could spend a moment walking in somebody else's shoes, you wouldn't be asking for half the stuff you're asking for sometimes, you know?
No, you wouldn't.
So,
you wouldn't.
Certainly not where the envy thing comes in, where you think, oh, I could do it better than this person, or, you know, why can't that be me? Because that's not your journey, you know? You're not spending a moment walking in this person's shoes. And just one last thing. This is not my my interview, your interview. So let me say this one last thing, and then I'll be quiet. But so often we look and we think it looks so easy, but what they see as ease is simply just grace to get the job done.
Yes.
You know, so it's not that it's necessarily easy. And it's not that it would be easy for the next person who steps in, but the person who's supposed to do that thing has the grace to get that thing done. And that's, he makes it look easy because they're flowing in grace.
That's it. That is it right there.
Because you have a whole lot going on, a whole lot. I mean, even just parenting. I mean, like, you're a stay-at-home mom. Even just parenting the kids, that's a huge piece of your life. And yet you have all these other individual components that you bring in, you know. And many people wouldn't be able to walk the path that you're walking. They wouldn't be able to fit those shoes that you have. But you're doing it, and you do it well, you know. And so others look at you, and we just see someone who is such an inspiration. So, you know, that's your little pat on the back this morning.
God be the glory.
Yeah, there you go. So now, how has your journey been with getting exposure for your book? Do you find that it's an ongoing challenge to get your work in front of new readers, or has this been kind of a smooth process for you because of the other platforms that you operate in?
A little of both. Because I operate in other platforms, I am able to reach other people that I have in my sphere of influence. And then there's the other where, you know, some people will see what you're doing, but they don't want to support because of who you are, or, you know, who they think you are, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, when you were saying all that, I'm just like, she is, like, so reading my diary, but you just don't know what people have to go through. You don't know the secret battles, because we don't tell our battles. You know, you don't know some people are really just smiling while they're fighting, they're fighting back tears. You know, you don't know the hours of sacrifice and, you know, the things that we have to turn down to get these things, but you're looking, you know, on the outside looking in, and you think we have it all together, and, you know, you're not happy because you think that you can do it better. And I tell people all the time, you can. See, the difference is I'm not the smartest, I'm not the prettiest, I'm definitely not the most popular, but I work hard. I will outwork you. I will work around you, and that's why I am where I am. And so I don't worry about numbers or, you know, how many people read the book. When book, it was my prayer that it would get into the hands of the people that it needed to get into, and it would do what it was supposed to do. So if it was only supposed to change the life of one person, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I've done my job.
Yeah.
Mission complete.
That is so powerful. So you are currently writing in the Christian nonfiction genre. Are there any other genres you'd like to try?
Yes. Did I say that fast enough?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes and yes. I would like to say, I say it all the time, this is Trisha J, Ask TPJ, and this is your box.
Uh-huh.
Don't put me in your box, you know. And it's so funny because I started out here and I'm like such, I'm a secular girl to my heart. I work in the marketplace. So, you know, a lot of things that I do are just totally secular. So, yes, yes and yes, I want to do some nonfiction books. I love nonfiction. I work on character profiles and building and developing well-rounded characters. I live for that type of stuff. So I can't wait to get involved in that. And business, you know, I'm all about helping you dominate your destiny. And that doesn't just have to be from a spiritual. I help people start businesses. I helped last year 150 people start their businesses.
Oh,
and
my goodness, really?
Anything that I could do to, anything I could do to
That's
help you walk in your destiny and your path, I'm open to, you know. So that is one facet of writing that I would love to get into, you know, almost like.
Let me say this. Let me just interject something here. You know, for those of you who don't know, Trisha does have a master's degree in, like, business administration, so she really does know what she's talking about. In addition to all this other stuff she's got going on, she's managed to fit school in there, too. So, she's definitely skilled at what she's talking about. So if you're looking for someone to help you with business development, Trisha is your girl. Ask TPJ.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so
that's why I took project management, because I juggle so many different projects, and right now I am working on finance because, you know, I really want to work on a lot of finance books as well, because for the African-American community, we have so much spending power. We don't realize it, but we are usually the most poor, and so I want to write to change those things. So, different genres, yes.
Okay. All right. So, now, you mentioned that you have books that are already written. When is your next book coming out, or are you not released to say yet?
It's another Christian nonfiction book.
Okay, all right.
It will be out this year, though. And the top of next year will be the first non-Christian book that I am allowed to release.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Super excited about that. And I will be publishing them myself this go round.
You will? Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So
how
know
do you juggle
work.
All the things? Yeah, it is. But you can do it. You can do it.
Yes.
How do you juggle all the things that are on your plate without being overwhelmed or feeling as though you're being submerged under all of your responsibilities?
That's good. I pray, number one. You know, I start my day without prayer. I need to meditate because you can really get into the hustle and bustle of it all and miss it. I don't want to do that. Number two, I just look at it exactly how you said it, as juggling. And so while I'm building the foundation for a new book or a new project, you know, that is what's consuming a lot of my time. But once it's complete, I can toss it up in the air and grab another ball. And, you know, once you start getting things going, like the rejuvenation process, it's tossed up in the air and I'm working on the next project because it's complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with each of my kids, I have a system, you know. You have to spend time with five kids. You know, you don't make any of them feel left out. And it's funny, we always say we have five only children because that's the attitude that they have. You know, they're adamant about their mommy-daughter dates. They're adamant about their daddy-daughter dates, you know, and so you just really figure it out, you know. My planner is my life. You know, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I fit them in. I need to make sure, you know, we're going to drop some kids off today mm-hmm. and then sneak in a date.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just really
mm-hmm.
have
mm-hmm.
to be intentional about your time. I don't play about
yeah.
my time. I can make money back,
okay.
but I can't get my time back. And so
that's
how
right.
I dealt
with it.
You know, I would like to sleep,
okay.
but Beyonce don't sleep 24 hours, so I don't have time to sleep.
There you go.
Not like that.
mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So what
billionaire
advice would you
sleep.
Give to the what advice would you give to the overworked, overly stressed wife and or mother who has a dream to do something more than what she's currently doing, but she feels that she doesn't have the time to pursue it? What would you say to her?
Well, that's awesome. Let me just say, first of all, I have been there. I have been you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a mommy and a wife, we are servant. Put everybody's needs before your own. But you have to be intentional about your time. So even if you
mm-hmm.
have to get a babysitter and, you know, use that time to just take a bath and take yourself out
mm-hmm.
to lunch or get a massage, you know,
yeah.
I'm telling you, Starbucks was my friend. I had to fight for Starbucks time. And
mm-hmm.
that's how
mm-hmm.
I got to doing my dream. It was really just a way
mm-hmm.
to get away and have some quiet time. But while I was there,
yeah.
I would write. So you
yeah.
really have to just be intentional about your time. You have to fight for your time because we pour out so much, but, you know, many times we don't get poured into. So it's necessary to have
mm-hmm.
that time. It's necessary.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's so good. Now, do you have any speaking engagements, book signings, or events our readers can come out and meet you coming up anytime soon?
I just had a book signing not that long ago.
Oh.
I will be
really? Okay.
working on... It wasn't my own. It was a group thing. I'm
okay.
waiting on the second book release to do one, a big one, so you'll know about that for sure. I'm
okay.
working on
All
a
right.
writer's workshop.
Oh, good.
Start in June, and so there will
uh-huh.
be more information on the website, www.asktpj.com, and
okay.
you can come see
okay.
me there. Of course, you know, I have books there. You can always get them signed there and, you know, ask
mm-hmm.
me any questions that you need to ask.
Now tell our listeners where they can purchase your books and follow you on social media and also book you for speaking engagements.
Awesome. Okay, you can follow me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook, Ask TPJ.
Okay.
Facebook, Ask TPJ Writes. That's another page of
mm-hmm.
mine. So I like to
okay.
give writing tips or that's where I post blogs and things like that. For
okay.
speaking events, there is my website, asktpj.com. There is a contact tab for booking, and you
mm-hmm.
can fill out the application there and let me know what's going on, what event it is, the dates, the times, the topic that I would need to be speaking on, and all of those good things. What was
okay.
the other part that I was supposed to answer, or did I answer it all?
Where your books can be purchased.
My books can be purchased on asktpj.com. I also have a free ebook that you can download on the website. All you do, you pay
okay.
with a tweet. So as you download, you just click the pay with a tweet and, you know, tell people about the book. But it's my
oh, nice.
Nonfiction book. It's called Destiny Domination.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just some tips and tricks to help you dominate your destiny and be more successful. The book is on iBook, Amazon,
mm-hmm.
Kindle. If you go on Amazon, look for the author, Ask TPJ. I'm very popular. I'm getting other people selling the book, but it's not the quality that I want. I don't do poor
okay.
quality. So
uh-huh,
look
uh-huh.
for me, Ask TPJ. I'm selling it on Amazon for you. I want to make sure that if you get my book, you know it's good quality. I don't do low-quality
yeah.
work.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. And finally, what piece of advice would you give to an aspiring author?
I would say no time is too little time. Even if you can only afford to carve out an hour a week for writing,
yeah.
that's enough
yeah.
time. Even if you don't write during that time, if you just use that time for research or character development or, you know, finding scriptures,
mm-hmm.
if that's your genre, that is time that you have dropped into the bucket toward writing this book. You know, I always
right.
say that if we wait until tomorrow or when we have the perfect conditions, we'll never start and you'll never finish. So even if you're just contributing small amounts of time to you, it will eventually add up and get you to where you want to be.
Absolutely. Great advice. Well, Ask TPJ. It has been so wonderful having you on the show today. Congratulations on all of your many accomplishments. Your drive and motivation to live life on purpose and fulfilling your destiny is such an inspiration for many. So please keep us abreast of, you're welcome. Please keep us abreast of all of your future work so that we can have you back on the show. Again, thanks for joining us. I wish you continued success.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Again, listeners, we've had author Charnel Williams and author and mompreneur Ask TPJ with us today. If you missed any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs. Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word to others. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join me next Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for In the Spotlight. Our special guests will be authors Andrea Yvette and Stacey Campbell. Until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose. And don't forget to read a great book. Bye.